Well, this is the first part of probably a 2 or 3 part series on the sons of God. Now, it's not the sons of God in Genesis, it's the sons of God in the New Testament, okay? So versions of the Bible use children of God, some use sons of God. For the ladies, you just got to get past sons of God, right? Because it's basically sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. Just like I don't get being the bride of Christ. It just doesn't connect with me. So it's sons, but it's sons and daughters. But the reason I like sons as opposed to children is that, you know, like you read Hebrews and it talks about children of God are still under a schoolmaster. Sons and daughters are able to handle meat, mm-hmm. the meat of righteousness. And so we use sons and daughters because there's a level of maturity there above children. Children are under a schoolmaster. They're still being coached by the law to understand the truth of what we receive from God. So one of the key things with being a son or a daughter of God is that I know that all that God has is mine. It's all the prosperity I'll ever need, all the health I'll ever need, everything, all the authority of God is mine. And sons and daughters of God are the people who are Christ in this world. Now, we're not Jesus Christ. He's in us, right? And we're in him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's lots of verses that say, you know, for me to live is Christ. As Christ Jesus is, so are we in this world. We're supposed to live this life exactly the way that he did when he was on the earth, exercising authority the way he did. And so understanding sonship or daughtership is a key in moving in the way that we have been equipped to move in this world. And there's only been one perfect one, Jesus. But as we understand our authority and our identity, more and more of what Christ is will live through us. So we're going to start looking at what it means to be a son of God. And we already are this. What we're talking about is what's already ours, which is really a beautiful thing. And part of walking more of what's ours is knowing what really is ours. The reality. We live in two realities. We live in a reality of what our past and what people say we are and what the Bible says we are. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as we hear who we really are, we start to live more and more out of what the Bible says we are. So here we go. Adam, you want to start with the first paragraph there in John 1:1?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Sheila, you want to read that?
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace."
And of his fullness have all we received. I mean, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. We receive the fullness of Jesus Christ. You know, when you, this is a powerful scripture talking about the Word of God being Jesus, right? And, I mean, it says profound things about Jesus, right? It says that there was nothing made that he didn't make, right? Mm-hmm. That he was with God before and is God. So some people who don't acknowledge Jesus as being God come in the flesh will take this in verse 14, the only begotten of the Father, and they'll say, see, Jesus was born, you know, like a human being. And they'll say he's begotten of the Father like a human baby. Well, he was born of Mary like a human baby, but he was born of the Holy Spirit, right? And if you go into the Greek of only begotten, it's basically one word. It's a compound Greek word, and it means soul emanation, soul generated. In other words, God himself put himself into flesh. That's basically what it means, and he's the only one. He's the sole generation of God in the flesh. And so only begotten is a lousy translation of the Greek word.
So it's almost like God's constricting himself to come into being flesh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It's kind of like light waves. You know, like when most of the waves leaving the sun, you can't see, right? Most of light is not seeable, and that would be like God the Father, before, you know, unknowable, unseeable, but God the Son would be the light you can see. Mm-hmm. And so they're all the same, they're all light, but the spectrum of the light you can see would be God the Son. The spectrum of light you can't see would be God the Father.
Wow.
That's basically, it's all light, right? Mm-hmm. And really, God is light. It even says it here, right? So there's different spectrums of God's nature. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are different spectrums along the spectrum of God, the light, capital L. All the same, just different frequencies within that same light, you know. So anyway, it's important that we realize that Jesus is unique. However, we are also sons of God. And when it talks about sons of God, really, the closest translation to that is God's sons. And so Jesus is God's son. We are God's sons. And which means that everything God has is ours because we're his offspring. And Hebrews look at sonship and daughtership very differently than we do because they didn't look at the father and son as separate. They looked at him as the same person. There's a very different perspective in the Middle East of sonship than we have in the West. Here, we're different. We're separate people from our parents. Back then, you saw the son, you saw the father. You saw the father, you saw the son. They had a much closer bond than we. So we really, I mean, we're not God, but we have all God has. We're not God, but God lives in us.
Well, just like in Hebrew, you hear them say Abba, which means daddy. They're actually calling God daddy.
Yeah, they are.
That's so cool.
It is cool. So first question, who is the Word of God and was anything made without him?
Jesus and no.
Jesus and no.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly it. Jesus is the Word of God and nothing. He was the creator. So Jesus created everything and then he entered his own creation. As flesh, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus created everything and entered creation. That's I don't know if bizarre is the right word, but he made it and stepped into it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's wild. What does it mean that the life was the light of men?
You can almost say the awakening.
Yeah. Because if the life's in you, it can give you the light of inspiration, the light a revelation, right? And it's interesting that light is a thing. It's a substance. And God is the life, our life. When it becomes light, it becomes what you see. You know, like if you're looking, you know, there's this, we were watching Patriot Games or something. It was a movie about Clancy, right? Tom Clancy wrote this book, Patriot Games, and they were up in this room and they were looking at this SEAL team, and you could see the light coming out of every one of the bodies, right? Through these night goggles from a satellite, right? They were looking infrared or whatever. So you can see people at night because they glow with a light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there were terrorists in this camp, and they were lit too. But when the SEAL team went into the tent, all those lights went out.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they killed a terrorist,
mm-hmm.
its light went out, right? So the life of God was the light. So the life of God becomes our light. We shine with the light. Even people who don't know God personally still have a light, because it says in here that he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Without the light of Christ, we're dead, even in this world, right? So he is our light. We shine with the light of the life of God. So it's kind of like we are God's light bulb. We are.
Well, sometimes I get dim, but
and some of us are dimmer than others.
We have our moments.
And you think of, you know, like, look at, you know, this light bulb up here, right? It's giving off light, but it's proof that there's electricity in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now the electricity in the wall is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
That's God the Father, unknowable. But the light comes through the wire and goes out the light bulb. And it illuminates, it gives light to the room. And so God in us shines light in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal. Now, if a person doesn't have Jesus, they've turned the light switch off. The electricity is still in the wall. The electricity is still in me, but it hasn't come out like the light of Christ, because I haven't thrown the switch by believing and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. When I believe and confess that Jesus is God's Son coming to the world, God Himself coming to the world, I throw the light switch. And then I now am shining with the light of Christ in this world. I'm giving proof to the visible presence of God in the world by shining as His light bulb. Like the Bible calls it, my soul is the candle of the Lord. But today, if they wrote it, would be, my soul is the light bulb of the Lord. I mean, it's a perfect example of who God is. What's that?
Candle's more poetic.
Candle's much more poetic.
Yeah.
And we turn it on, and then we turn it up, we let it go. Even followers of Jesus, we turn the light off because we feel condemned, or we, you know, for whatever reason, we turn our backs on God and we throw the switch off. We still have the light inside us, but it's not shining.
Mm-hmm.
And if I died, I'd go with that light to be with God. But believing what God says in His Word turns the light on. And believing even more and more about what He says is a reality for me is like a dimmer switch that you keep turning brighter and brighter, right? So sons of God shine brighter and brighter until the day of the Lord. That's our goal, to shine brighter and brighter. Keep that dimmer switch going up. Why is it called a dimmer switch? It should be called
when you go the other way.
Okay.
And that's it.
But it should be a brighter switch. Just like, why does everyone call a traffic light a red light?
Why do they call it a green light?
It's the natural inclination to the negative.
Well, no, the automatic, what we're used to on a light, is it's on, all the way on or all the way off. So it's a dimmer switch because it gives you something lower than all the way on.
Okay.
It doesn't give you anything brighter than all the way, but...
Okay. Does that make sense to anyone else?
Yeah.
That's
really good, yes.
It sounded really good, Adam, but I didn't understand.
Well, now you know.
What's that? Adam will be leading the class next week. So there you go. So now that's our light bulb story for the evening. What were those who received the true light given authority to become?
A light bulb.
A light bulb. Well, we were thinking what's in the scripture here.
Oh.
Okay. You're right, though. That's true.
Lightning.
So what are we given the right? You use the word right here, but that word right means authority. So
sons of God.
To be sons of God, right?
Sons of God.
So we have the authority to become sons of God. When we receive Christ, we're children of God. We want to be sons and daughters of God, so that we live in our full inheritance now, not just waiting.
What did you say that when we accept Christ, we become children of God?
When we accept Christ, we become children of God.
But then what did you say about...
When we become mature, when we exercise our authority, we become sons of God or daughters of God. The children are the ones who are under a schoolmaster because their senses have not been exercised to discern both good and evil. Because they are in need of milk, not of strong meat. But strong meat is for those by reason of use have exercised their senses. So maturity, understanding the word of righteousness, because it says meat is the word of righteousness. If we understand that we're right with God based on the work of Jesus, and we don't lose our rightness with God, then we become sons of God. We start exercising the authority that's been given to us. If I'm a child, I'm always wondering, what am I doing to screw this up? You know, why is God more gone than here? You know, but a son knows their inheritance and know that they have their inheritance now.
Isn't that the value of having a mentor or an accountability partner, someone that you're connecting with that is more mature than you, but yet they're kind of one-on-one guiding you, or you're able to converse with them, and they, just like I picture a mother, if she knows when to start feeding her,
sure,
her child table food.
That's how you become a
son.
You
need that other connection usually outside yourself. It makes it easier, I would think.
Well, that we're children, then we have a mentor,
and
right?
Just always doing it by yourself.
That's true.
Until you think, okay, I think I'm mature now. no, not yet.
Someone helps us. Teachers help us mature.
Yeah.
And the law is also instructs us till we become mature.
Yeah, sure.
Usually through the futility of it.
Yeah.
I keep trying to be good for God based upon, based upon my performance. I always hear this preacher saying, talking about, I'm going to pray longer to be more, to get God on my side, so God will bless me. I'm going to tithe more, so God will bless me. I'm going to read the Bible more, so God will bless me. You know, and just because I'm going to tithe, I'm going to pray, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe. And how much tithing is enough for God to receive God's blessing? How much praying is enough to receive God's blessing? How much reading your Bible is enough to receive God's blessing? How much meditation is enough to receive God's blessing? It's just...
you can say amen, that's a prayer, when your heart is in that right relationship, then you're blessed.
We already are
just
blessed.
Just amen.
Yeah,
as a
thank
prayer.
You.
Right?
Well, it's already ours, right?
Well, yeah. But I'm
so
just
you say
the
amen.
Right heart motive is in the prayer, right? That you already know it's yours.
That's right.
Okay.
Amen. You do. Amen means it is so, right?
Yeah.
So, who is the Word and the Light, and how do we receive Him?
Jesus, and we surrender.
That's perfect.
I was modeling Adam.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's
you gotta jump right
yes
in
and no. So, are the sons of God born of the flesh?
Well, to begin with.
It's kind of a trick question, right? Because in here he says we're not born of the flesh, but of the Spirit. But you first have to...
I guess when you're called a son of God, then you're born of the Spirit.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the will of God. But you have to first be born of the flesh before you can be, right? What does it mean that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that He's the only begotten of the Father? Well, we already talked about that. So who has received the fullness of the Word made flesh, and what does that mean? Who's received the fullness of the Word?
Yeah.
We have. So how full is fullness?
Immeasurable.
Yeah. I mean, it's full, isn't it? Of His fullness have all we received. I mean, that's a lot. of his fullness, right? We've received of the fullness of Jesus Christ. So what are grace and truth? Because it says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Those are big terms.
Yeah. I don't know if there's enough time.
Well, grace is basically undeserved, unmerited favor. It's everything that God has that we don't deserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of things that we don't deserve. Mercy is we don't get what we do deserve. But grace is we get what we don't deserve. Grace is the gift of God himself to us. It's having God's nature within us. So what's truth?
Being in line with God's word.
That would be, because the word is truth, right? Jesus, when he appeared to Pilate, he said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. What was he saying there? He's saying, Pilate, why are you here? I have come to bear witness of the truth.
He actually came to model the truth.
God is. He was the truth himself, right? And he came from another dimension called the truth. From God called the truth. God's the truth. So it's a dimension that is God and a place. And it's where he came from to show that he was in a world that wasn't the truth. Pilate didn't know what he was talking about. Pilate said, what is truth? And so that's how we live. We live in two realities. We live in a sensory, physical, fleshly, earthly reality that most of people feel is the true world. But then there's also a reality called the truth. And in our spirit man, we have the truth. And if we have Jesus, we have the truth living in us. And so there's two realities. There's the truth. And then there's this sensory world. And as we become more in line with believing what the Bible says the truth is, the more that reality becomes our reality here, and we emerge sons and daughters of God. A son of God is a person who lives with the truth on the inside of them, with an awareness that the truth is all around them. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the presence of God is the truth. And there's a reality actually in this world that this world doesn't know about. The truth. Sons of God, wake up to the fact that the truth is here. It happened to Jacob. You know, he sleeps on a pillow, a stone, and he has a vision of a ladder set up between heaven and earth, and he realized that that ladder was here all along. He just didn't know it. And this is the house of God. I mean, he got the revelation. This is the house of God. If we have, then Jesus says, I'm the ladder, right? Because Nathanael comes up and says, Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree, you know, earlier. I know who you are. And he said, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, just because I have a word of knowledge, you think I'm the Messiah? You're going to see bigger, better things than that. You're going to see heaven open and angels ascending and descending upon me. And he was saying, I am the truth because I connect heaven and earth in me. They're connected in him, right? Jacob's ladder now became a person. And when Jesus is in us, we connect heaven and earth. And so we walk around in the truth that heaven and earth are connected in me. And if there's a situation that needs heaven's influence, I'm there to proclaim it or to ask for it, depending on the situation. I change every situation I walk into just by showing up. Because Jesus Christ lives in me, and so I have access to heaven wherever I go. The truth has come and lives in me, and if I've come in a room, the truth has come into the room because I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Praise God. That's the sons of God. Praise God. So what does it mean to receive grace for grace? I just think we got grace and we get more grace, right?
And God gives us the grace to get it.
He does.
He gives us the grace to get it.
He does. Grace for grace. Well, Jerry, want to read 1 John 3:2?
Beloved, now now we are the sons of God, and it has not been yet been revealed that we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, he shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is.
So the first part that's underlined there, it says, beloved or beloved, now are we the sons of God. So do we believe that verse? No. We don't. Seriously, if I believed this verse, I would be living very differently. I wouldn't be upset about anything. I wouldn't be rattled. I wouldn't be nervous. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we God's sons. What kind of worry could I have, right? You know? I mean...
Actually, it's not asking us if we are sons of God. It's actually telling us
we are sons of God. We don't believe, yeah.
It's not in the future.
Now are we the sons of God. And so it's a powerful thing to believe. It's hard to get to dawn on us. And if this is now, if we're now the sons of God, then the rest of this verse has, even though most of us, most people are waiting for this verse to be fulfilled in the future, it still starts with now. And so even though Jesus, however Jesus wants to wrap up the world at the end, however he wants things to change in the end, that's fine with me. He can do whatever he wants, right? He's God, right? But for me, these things are now. You know what I mean? So when I read this, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I don't see the fullness of my sonship right now, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm moving to try to see more and more of it mm-hmm. now. I want it now, or I want it before I leave this world. I don't have to wait until Jesus comes back or whatever. I meet him in the air, whatever, however he wraps that up. Mm-hmm. It's now for me. I can have more of Jesus revealed in me. And what shall, it's not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And so as I grow in my revelation of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and Christ in me, I'm going to be more like him right now. The more he's revealed, the more I'm like him. For we shall see him as he is, and I see him as he is because we're parts of his body. He's in this room right now. Amen. The hands and the feet and the eyes and the mouth and the... We're here. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We be him.
We be him.
And we it be now. And it can be... As that revelation hits us more and more, we will see him as he is, and he is us. It's awesome. So are we now the sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
We are. Is it possible to receive more revelation about Jesus than we already have?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there is, because he created the universe. There's a lot more to Jesus than we know, right? Mm-hmm. If we receive greater revelation regarding Jesus while we live in this present world, can we also experience a greater revelation of our being the sons of God?
Yeah.
Yes. That's the goal. That's why we're studying this, you know, so that we can wake up more and more to who we are. Well, Chuck, you want to read Deuteronomy 30?
For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it.
So that's the prophecy in, or the foundation in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament about becoming a son of God. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans expands upon that verse in Romans chapter 10. Moses, you want to read the first paragraph there? Save the hardest ones for you.
For the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yeah, you want to read the last paragraph?
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay. Where do we find the authority to become sons of God? Is it in the heavens, at the bottom of the ocean, or across the sea?
In Christ.
No, it's in Christ, and it's in my heart and in my mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and I confess with my mouth that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. And salvation means a number of things. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it means primarily, I mean, the first thing it means is becoming a child of God. What happens when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus?
We're saved.
We're saved. We are saved. And the first saved, the word sozo in Greek, means delivered from enemies. Delivered from enemies. And so the greatest enemy a human being faces is eternal separation from God, eternal damnation. You know, being in a really rotten place, right, for eternity. And so that's the first being saved. We confess, we believe that Jesus is who he is, that Jesus was enough for me, for him to pay the penalty for my sin and for me to receive the free gift of salvation, free gift of everlasting life and go with God for eternity, right? So that's the first. So the first enemy is eternal damnation. And because that enemy is such a big enemy, because eternity is a long time, we can't even fathom eternity because it just doesn't end, right? Because that enemy is so big, we look at that one as the main one when we say saved, you know? But we've got a whole bunch of enemies.
Me, myself, and
I. We have found the enemy, and he is us. That is true. Our flesh is our worst enemy. You know, the devil's another enemy. But there's other enemies. There's other people that have wrong motives. There's sickness, disease. There's poverty. There's crashes in the stock market. There's all kinds of things, right? So whatever the enemy is, we are saved how? By believing in our heart the Lord Jesus and confessing that God raised him from the dead. I overcome poverty by believing in the Lord Jesus, confessing with my mouth. I overcome sickness and disease by believing in the Lord Jesus with my heart and confessing with my mouth. I believe that I'm a son of God and everything God has for me is already mine. And when I believe in my heart, as the heart believes, so the mouth speaks. I speak it with my mouth and starts to change in the natural. I believe in my heart. I confess the Lord Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over sickness and disease. He's Lord over infection. He's Lord over poverty. He's Lord over wicked government. He's Lord over, you know, what he's Lord. And when I believe in my heart that he really has fixed things, confess it with my mouth, things begin to change. Believe in my heart. So how do we become saved from all of our enemies? We've already been delivered from eternal damnation by confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, that he paid the penalty for all our sin. He brought eternal life. I confess that now I have Jesus on the inside of me. But I have other enemies. And so how do I deal with other enemies? I confess, Jesus, you are Lord over this situation. I give the worry of it to you. I cast the care of it upon you. and I trust that you're at work in me and around me. I thank you for your angels coming to my aid because I'm confessing. And it's like we have the right to believe in our heart and confess that we read the Word of God, what it says, and then we start, if we really believe it, if we confess things that we don't believe, they don't have an impact. I can go in the garage and say, I'm a car, I'm a car, I'm a car. And I'll never become a car. But if I read in the Bible that it says that I should have peace of mind even going through a tough time, I really believe that it's true that, you know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God with thankfulness, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If I believe that, and I confess it, can you imagine what stirs up in heaven? Mm-hmm. That a son of God who has as much authority as God in the natural world, what happens when angels hear we confess God's good holy angels? There's all kinds of activity that starts to happen. They're like sitting around the Cracker Barrel up in the by the barber by the barber pole in heaven. And they're wait a minute, someone down there's getting it. Oh, they're confessing it. Let's go, guys.
That's what moves them is hearing the truth.
That's right.
It just all kinds of activity.
Daughters.
I read this book and said, you know, children have guardian angels, and this mother keeps saying, "You need to stay out of the street. You're going to get hit by a car. Stay out of the street. You're going to get hit by a car." And so this angel thinks she wants him to get hit by a car. He's just watching while this kid gets hit by a car because she's confessing that.
Yeah, see, that's that. Luckily, she doesn't believe it.
No.
If she believed it, it would have more of an impact. Mm-hmm. It's really good that a lot of things that we've said over our life haven't happened.
God overlooks ignorance.
It could be really. Everything we say does not happen.
No, thank you.
But everything we believe, according to the Word,
starts
to happen. And heaven moves.
That's the beauty of being in that relationship with the Lord, is that you can say, God, this isn't all the way in my heart, but I'm believing your word because it's in your word. You know, make it truth in my heart. You can be so true, so real with it that I really don't understand. I can't honestly say that I'm not anxious about these taxes I owe or whatever, you know, but I do want to stand on your word. I need your help, you know.
Right.
And he'll honor that. That's just the beauty of talking to God.
He's merciful to save us from ourselves when we're not where we should be, and he's merciful to move us in to change in our heart to help us believe.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't
ever
quit being merciful to us.
Never quits. He's an ocean of mercy and an ocean of grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that ladder we were talking about. Remember, Jacob saw this ladder, and then Jesus said, he's the ladder. Now we have Jesus in us, so we have this ladder between heaven and earth in us. It's interesting that when it talks about the angels, they're ascending and descending. The reason why they're ascending is we're the messengers going up with the requests or the commands. We're the ones going up, and we go up by faith, and we say what the word, we confess what the word says, and angels are sent down with the answers. We go up by faith with our words, with our proclamations and our requests and our declarations, and the angels come down with swords. And body parts. Seriously, people get new hearts. Yes, they do.
Brand new one. Well, yeah.
Brett, people do. They.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You listen to some of the people, and they see into the spirit, and get angels showing up with hearts and lungs and kidneys and livers and
teeth.
There's people that have been in teeth. I could use this.
Teeth.
I'm believing for some new teeth. I am.
Right.
What's that?
Question.
Sure.
You guys always wondering what my question is.
I've been looking forward to it.
Well, I'm just kind of confused me a little bit. God, he said, you know, that if you confess with your mouth to the Lord and you believe that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be saved.
Yes.
Perfect. Now, my question is just analyzing a little bit. just question, not trying to anything, you know, just among those people like you, they believe in Buddha, Allah, whatever, they're not confessing into Jesus, will be they going to be saved?
There's only one way to God. Jesus said,
okay.
I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So, Jesus is saying there's only, Jesus is God. God himself came to earth to show us the way, and he is the way. So, he's not exclusive to anyone. He's not saying, you over there that worship Buddha, you can't come to Jesus. Everyone can come to Jesus. So, the Bible also says that the gospel's been preached to every creature under the sun. The gospel's been preached to everyone worshiping Buddha, Muhammad, you know. So, there's an inner knowing. Every human being knows that they're a sinner, that they've been separated from God, something's wrong, and they need a Savior. Every human being has that knowing on the inside of them. Some respond, and others don't. If we respond, then he gives us some way for us to hear the gospel. In the Muslim countries, whole villages are having in the same night visions of Jesus. Jesus will come. I mean, I go to these meetings where there's missionaries, and they'll find a whole community, a whole town in the heart of like Iran or Iraq or other parts of the Middle East. The whole town has become Christian because Jesus appeared to them, because no one can get in there. There was a guy I heard on the radio. He grew up in a part of Africa where it was just witch doctors and idol worship. And they were carving an idol out of a tree. And he said, God, I don't want to know who made the idol. I want to know who made the tree. And the very moment he said that, there was a young man that got called by God into Bible school to become a missionary to that very country. And the missionary was flying to that country. The guy was in the airport who had that thought, and they bumped into each other and they exchanged the story. So everyone who responds to God, I want to know more about God, God finds someone to bring them the gospel.
So
even if he comes himself.
Sometimes he has to come himself. Mm-hmm. Because he's a man, he can, right?
So understand, there's a lot of people there that have become Christian. They, you know, accepting Jesus. But all those millions that they know that I'm not going to be saved, that's what I'm saying.
You don't know. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't know what's going on their deathbed. You don't know what's happening to them. I mean, there's so many people that have an experience of Jesus as they're leaving the earth. A lot of people. The devil messes up their life for 70 years, and on a deathbed they encounter Jesus. Or Jesus would rather send someone. He wants us to have part of it, but when we can't go, he goes, because he's also a man. The gospel... An angel appears to a Roman centurion named Cornelius. The angel, because Cornelius wants to know about Jesus. It's in the book of Acts. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a high-level Roman officer, right, in the Roman army. He wants to know about Jesus. An angel appears to him and says, you're going to learn about Jesus. But the angel, who knows about Jesus, knows Jesus personally, sends Cornelius to Peter, the Apostle Peter, because whenever possible, the angels are not supposed to share the gospel, only human beings. And so he sends them to Peter, and Peter comes down and shares the gospel with him. So whenever a person can go, God sends a person. When a person can't go, he sends himself as a person, because God is also a person now. A human being.
Okay. That was our question.
Okay, that's good, because we worry about the other people. Why would God set it up where there's only one way to God? But the way God created everything, there is only one way to God, God himself. And so, you know, we...
He actually does us a big favor by the disservice of one man causing us all to be separate from him. He made it where one man gives access to him,
yeah.
Which we don't deserve.
We don't deserve, yeah.
And so he really does a huge favor.
Which is a phenomenal, because if it was up to us, we'd screw it all up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if he, right away, first day. You know?
First hour.
First second. Like,
I felt
like,
defeat. First second.
Why are you in such a hurry? But it is true. It's really the only way. Having one man, Jesus, is the only way we'd all be saved. Because if he left it up to us, like the Catholic Church, you know, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church are trying to get together and become one church. And they just can't agree on one point. Salvation by faith alone or salvation by faith plus works. The Catholic Church won't let go of you have to prove your salvation by what you do, by your works. The Lutheran Church, even though they're close in so many ways, they're not going to say that you're saved by faith in Jesus alone. And so it's really by faith in Jesus alone. So like Chuck was saying, God, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had a choice. He could have, there were only two. He could have wiped them out. Why didn't he wipe them out?
Because the next two would have been the same thing.
I actually had thought of that. That's pretty good. I thought he loved them, but then... Because the next two would have done the same thing. I keep making these two, and they keep saying So he had the two of them screw up, so...
You lose your train of thought.
He completely has a different train going there.
Well, now that you mentioned that.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
If he knew that the tree was forbidden.
Who's he?
God. That they couldn't eat out of that tree.
Right.
Why was that to begin with? Well,
that's a very good question. Well, for one thing, the tree wasn't a tree.
Or whatever, you know, that's so, what I see.
Because it's the Bible uses a tree as a way to help us understand what it was.
Oh, okay.
So it was the knowledge of good and evil.
So it was a tree for dummies, basically, for us. We are the dummies.
You could put it that way. Yeah. That's true. Like,
I love it.
Like Windows for Dummies. Or, yeah. Yeah, okay. When he created the world, he created it with principles. And principles taken too far one way can create a capacity for imbalance or evil. Another principle taken another direction, you take too far, you have a capacity for imbalance on the other side. And so when he created the universe, he had to create the way that we don't know why he chose to create the world the way he did, but the way he created the world that we have, he created it with opposites. And so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are the opposites that enable creation to exist. Something with a front has to have a back. Something with an up has to have a down, right? You take it down too far, you can have bad, right? So it becomes the knowledge of good and evil. And to manage that creation, he created all these angels. And the angels have a hierarchy. You have the highest angels are the archangels. And then you have the angels. Then you have the seraphim, the cherubim, and so forth. And in Jewish tradition, they name more of them than we have in the Bible. But we can stick with what the Bible talks about, right? So they were managing this creation. And they're in this hierarchy. Man was not created to be in a hierarchy. Man was created to be God in us. Adam walked with God one-on-one, right? There was nobody between God and Adam, right? So what the devil did is he got man to partake of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, to understand good and evil, and he entered into the devil's hierarchy. He actually, man ended up going into the bottom of the angel tree.
So,
this is deep stuff, but.
So if they, the way they picture it to us was, you know, they gave it an apple. That's what I know.
Right.
Well, now you say that it's no an apple there.
No, because apples are fine.
I understand that, but why was it?
You can eat an apple.
So why was it? Why was it that Adam and the Eve made Adam do with that tree?
Adam and Eve ate of a way of thinking that you have to earn your relationship with God. You have to maintain your relationship with God. You have to work things to keep God pleased. That's what the angels do. Man was not designed for that. Man was one-on-one with God, hanging out with God with nothing in between, nothing he had to earn, just hang out with God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we... So man entered into the... went under the angel's authority. We've been under the authority of the devil because we entered into his hierarchy of authority when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God's plan was, I was walking with Adam in the garden. The devil made Adam screw up and become part of the angel's hierarchy and authority. I'm gonna take Adam and I'm going to put myself in Adam and I'm going to make Adam rule over the whole angel tree. Angel tree, that's something else, isn't it? But the angel tree. So we were, Adam was created in the garden to walk with God. We're created in the new birth, the sons of God, for God to walk in us. We are actually a higher creation in the new birth as a son of God than Adam was in the garden walking with God. So God put up with all the mess to have a higher creation than he had in the beginning. And we can't screw it up. We have God in us. Jesus fixed everything and fixed it so it couldn't get screwed up. So if we ever make a mistake, we don't blow up the creation again.
You know, Moses, there's actually a movie that is out pretty recently that does a beautiful job, I think, of picturing this whole thing he's saying. It's called Unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cameron is the guy in it. Has anybody seen that?
Yeah,
it's on Netflix now.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Those are good questions.
Thank you.
They're very good.
He was always analyzing when I read.
So the bottom line is because of one man's disobedience, Adam, God said everyone's a sinner. Everyone that comes from man is a sinner. Which is not fair. If I'm going to hell, I should go on my own merit. Which is for sure. I would go on my own merit. So if that's not fair, right, he could do something completely unfair on the other side of the equation. Because of one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, everyone who receives Jesus is credited with his obedience and receives his righteousness. One man's disobedience, all were made sinners. One man's obedience, all are made righteous as long as they receive the free gift.
I have another question.
Sure.
I haven't gone that far. I was reading a little bit about, you know, Adam and Eve and when they started, and Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
After Cain killed Abel, and Cain left,
yep.
He got married. He went somewhere and got married or whatever. So Eve. Esther was the first. Where's that woman came from?
That's a really good question.
That is a good question. Those are hard questions, but
I'm sorry.
How old were Adam and Eve when they died?
I have no idea.
Just under 1,000 years old. So they were like 960 years old. So when they had, they had Cain, and so Cain. I don't know how old Cain was when he killed Abel, but he might have been 300 years old. Eve could have had a whole bunch of kids in 300 years, right? You have one every 9 months, and one every 2 years. You'd have 150 kids, and they're having kids, and all of a sudden, there's a whole town of women for Cain to go marry.
So we all descend from Adam and Eve, basically.
We all descend from Adam and Eve.
Actually, if you go back to Noah.
We go back to Noah. They, you know, when they were doing the genome project and they were tracking DNA, they went back mathematically on the DNA, and they've gone back to two people. So the DNA of the entire human race goes tracks back to two people.
And who was supposed to be?
Adam and Eve. Through Noah. But, yeah, Adam and Eve.
Cool. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I always think of the tree being there because it allows you to exercise your free will. You're choosing that.
Right.
God said we can't do that, though we can have everything else. So it's exercising your... Otherwise, I'd be a little robot just loving God because that's the way he made me. You know?
That's
but
true.
Because it's a choice, and he's put something there that I have to look at or somehow pass every day and not choose not to touch.
Right. Absolutely. But it's a way of thinking.
Yeah.
It's a way of thinking that they partook of. That they didn't think like before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't
God
an apple.
God himself wanted to teach him about the truth of good and evil. That was they would have never messed with that. That would have been his long-term plan, which is what he's doing with us. You know, that's the way I see it.
Well, he had a problem when the devil fell.
Yeah.
Because that was before he created us.
Right.
So this
whole
world.
He was already here when they got here.
He was, the devil was here. Adam was told to subdue the garden, right? Something was in the garden to subdue. It was like a snaky guy in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this world and this time in this world is to conquer evil
mm-hmm.
and conquer the devil. Wrap all that up so that we can live eternally with the Lord without a problem of evil.